This is a paid commercial program and may not represent the views of Bonneville International Corporation or Federal News Radio. Statements and opinions from this broadcast are solely those of the individual contributors or advertisers as indicated. Federal News Radio does not take responsibility for those statements or opinions and accepts no responsibility or liability for any inaccuracy, errors, or omissions reported during this program.
Interfacing complete. Please stand by. Now downloading Tech Talk Radio with Dr. Richard Schertz and Jim Russ. Tech Talk Radio, it's technology you can understand. And now, here are Dr. Richard Schertz and Jim Russ.
Welcome to Tech Talk Radio. We are in the virtual faculty lounge at Stratford University talking technology. I'm Dr. Richard Schertz.
And I'm Jim Russ.
It's great to be back in the country. I've been out in India for 2 weeks.
And you literally just got back.
I got back just late last night. And, of course, I always get up every morning, every Saturday morning at 2:30 a.m. to prepare Tech Talk. Mm-hmm. And so it was very easy to do that this week because 2:30 a.m. is actually like 9 o'clock in the morning there in New Delhi. So it was just like I was getting up at a regular time.
So, is this going to catch up with you at some point?
Eventually I'll transition back. But today was just the perfect time. I woke up without an alarm and just could jump right into it.
Cool.
It was an interesting time in New Delhi. We were there. We have, of course, a campus there in New Delhi and a couple of learning sites. We had our accreditation team was there. They were doing a full review of the campus there. Things came came off very nicely. Mm-hmm. And I'm telling you, we've got a lot of good students in India. One night they actually had this huge party they took over a disco. They had a huge party and we've got a lot of pretty talented kids there. They've got bands. They do this dancing, this break dancing, and they were really having a great time.
Did you participate at all?
They dragged me out on the floor from probably some of the most pathetic dancing you've ever seen.
Oh,
but, you
funny.
Know, it was probably the humor of the evening.
Will we be seeing this on YouTube?
It could be. I don't know who was there taking pictures, but it could be possible.
Oh, boy. Well, I'll make sure not to look for that.
And the other thing that was interesting, see, in India, everything is on text messaging. So they were lining up. I was doing seminars down at these various halls to talk about how to get a U.S. visa, sort of education tutorial 101. And they would only market these things through text message spam, basically. And I'm telling you, they could actually get a lot of people to the hall with text messaging.
Wow.
It actually works incredibly well. I was actually quite skeptical, but I went there and we'd have 150 people show up for these seminars, and it was all just with text messaging.
That's pretty crazy.
But there, everybody texts. Because, mm-hmm. see, when you receive a text, it doesn't cost you anything. When you receive a phone call, it doesn't cost you anything on cell phone. By law, India said, if you're receiving a call, you shouldn't be charged. So everybody has a cell phone, and they want you to call them.
Uh-huh.
And then you pay for both ends of the conversation, and the person receiving the call pays nothing. So it's kind of an interesting deal. So you can always call people, and they'll answer your phone call because it's free for them.
Mm-hmm.
So it was really quite an interesting week. I'm glad to be back in the saddle, though.
Well, it's good to have you back.
And so many things happened.
Yeah.
Of course... The big news is that Egypt shut down the internet.
Yeah,
did you hear
isn't that?
Crazy?
It's
the first time that's ever happened. We'll talk about that. Boy, I mean, that is just that. Whoever is in charge of that political decision needs to have their head examined because Egypt is going to lose a lot of credibility over this move.
Well, I think there are going to be a lot of people examining
and,
that person's head for them.
And it's going to turn out, I don't think it's going to help them with the protests over there. And, of course... Larry Page is now back in charge of Google.
Mm-hmm.
They actually had Eric Schmidt there as running the thing for the last 10 years because, as they said, they needed some adult supervision there. Larry Page is now 38 years old. He's been under Eric Schmidt's tutelage for the last 10 years until he's ready to take the reins. And so now it's going to be a shoot-off between Larry Page at Google and Mark Zuckerberg at Facebook. These are the two internet behemoths that are going to be fighting it out. I'll review a little bit on the computer show that we didn't get to last time.
Okay.
Because
right.
there are a lot of interesting trends. This was the computer electronics show that was about 2 weeks ago. But I wanted to get through the trends on what is there because it tells you about what we can expect in the future.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, Voyager 1 is leaving and has left the solar system. That's kind of an interesting interesting deal. But now,
one other thing. Yes. You're talking about Google, just a side note. I was in the elevator the other day, and of course, we've got these little things in elevators that give you news now.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Google is trading over $600 a share. Isn't that amazing when you think about it?
They, I mean, they've got $30 billion in the bank.
Oh, my God.
They've got $30 billion in the bank. They are very profitable.
Uh-huh.
They are trying now to move into social networking to compete with Facebook, because Facebook is going to create an ecosystem in and of themselves. You know, it's a self-contained ad. Did you realize that Facebook has one out of every 13 people on the earth as a member?
I didn't know that.
One out of 13 people.
You're looking at one of the 12 out of the 13.
Yeah, it could be. It could be.
Could be, yeah.
One out of 13 are on Facebook. They're at 500 million people on Facebook. And that's quite a...
It's an accomplishment.
It's quite an accomplishment. And so Zuckerberg is creating an ecosystem that could actually cut out Google.
Yeah,
you know,
sure.
Within their, because they're setting up Facebook advertising, and you just advertise all within Facebook. So Google's trying to get into the social networking thing. I'll talk about that shoot off in a little bit. But now it is time for...
There's a letter in your mailbox.
Oh, yes. We have a letter, from an email from a loyal listener. Dear Dr. Schertz, when it comes to reading my email and saving stuff in folders, I've been using Outlook Express for 5 years.
Uh-huh.
Outlook Express 6 has developed some kind of issues on my computer. Now I'm getting duplicate and triplicate emails, copies of received mails from Outlook Express. Now, because Outlook Express is no longer supported, I can't really get a fix.
Yeah.
And so a friend of mine recommended I go to Windows Live Mail. Yeah, actually, Outlook Express was replaced by Windows Mail, and then Windows Mail was replaced by Windows Live Mail. And so it's probably about time that you move up. Now, a number of people don't like Windows Live Mail when you actually install it. And I think you're running into some of the problems that many people have. I've downloaded and installed Windows Live Mail, and I've imported my Outlook Express mail, but not my sent mail messages. Is there a way to copy them into Windows Live Mail from Outlook Express? Also, now all of my accounts are in different inboxes. And I want them all in one inbox, the way I had it with Outlook Express. I can also see no send or receive button in Windows Live Mail. So how do I check if new messages are coming in? I'm still feeling like it may not be the best mail app for me. What do you recommend? Thanks, loyal listener. Well, first of all, Windows Live Mail will create a separate inbox for each email account. This is the one thing that new users hate who've been coming off out of Outlook Express. So if you've got 8 email accounts coming in there, you're going to have 8 inboxes. And there's not a darn thing you can do about it, because this is a feature.
Not a good feature, but it's a feature.
It's a feature. Now, the send and receive button is on the menu bar. Apparently, you don't have the menu bar turned on. So what you want to do is you want, up in the upper right-hand corner of the screen, click on the menus button, and you'll see a drop down, and then click on the show menu bar, and then the menu bar will show up, and when the menu bar shows up, you will see your send and receive button. You can also configure send and receive, so it will automatically send and receive every 5 minutes. It will update your inboxes every 5 minutes, every 10 minutes. You can set an interval, but if you're just too impatient to wait for the normal update, click on the button, and you can update, you can synchronize all your mailboxes whenever you feel like it. Now, when you install Windows Live Mail, it automatically imports your Outlook Express mail when it's installed. Now, it should have imported the sent mail folder, too. Now, but you didn't get it. So you can re-import that account. And when you re-import the account, you can select which folders you wish to import. Maybe in the beginning, you could have selected which folders you wanted, and you just didn't click sent mail.
Right.
But you can go and re-import the account. You can select all the folders you wish to import, and then you can on the menu bar, and then click the then you basically can click the file menu. Then what you want to do is you have to use that menus bar again, and then you click on the file section of the menus bar, and then that brings down a drop down menu. Select import, then select the program that you want to import from. It should be Outlook Express 6.6. And then select which folders you want. So that should solve your problems. Now, the only problem is you'll be importing all your inbox again, so it'll be double messages. So so that may not be a good thing. But maybe you could create another inbox and import those into another inbox. I've got an email from Mary. Dear Dr. Schertz. Oh, by the way, let me get back to this. You asked one more question. Is this the best option? There is actually another pretty good option for integrating many, many mailboxes in one. You can use Gmail.
Yes.
Gmail will actually import all kinds of POP accounts, and it will put everything into a single inbox.
Right.
So if the single inbox is what you want, I would recommend you go to Gmail.
Yep.
And forget Windows Live. Windows Live basically is not an email client. It just collects email from a lot of different email accounts and then puts them in one place, actually, and then you can organize it. It also is set up. You can put all of your blogs in there. You can put your RSS, you know, all of your podcast feed. So it's an area where you can integrate all your email and multimedia needs. That's what Windows Live was set up to be. It's also sort of Microsoft's way to get you into the Microsoft social networking area. But if all you want to do is consolidate a lot of email accounts, I'd use Gmail, actually.
Mm-hmm.
Which is a pretty nice feature.
Oh,
you can just bring them all in. So if the single inbox is what you really need, use Gmail. Okay, now, email from Mary. Dear Dr. Schertz, I send emails from my laptop and I need to have content from Word 2003 pasted into them. I've been doing this for years with my current system. Today, something strange developed. I want to copy-paste two things. When I copy-paste the first piece of text, it works perfectly. Then when I copy and paste the second piece of text using Control-C for copy and then Control-V for paste, It pastes the first piece in rather than the second piece. This hasn't happened before. I've no idea what the problem is. Can you help me, please? Thanks, Mary. Well, I don't actually have a clear answer here because what you're doing is correct and it should actually work.
Yeah.
What I would do would be to open the Office clipboard and see what's in it. So you can actually open the Office clipboard because you can see what is there. When you save something, you put it to clipboard and then you can paste it in. You can open the clipboard. You can control which one you're going to paste. You can actually control it through the clipboard itself. So if you want to access the Office clipboard, scroll to Edit. It's the drop-down menu, and then when you click on Edit, the drop-down menu will show up, and then you can click on Office Clipboard, and it will open up on the right side of the screen, and then you've got complete control over it. So you could actually investigate what's happening by looking at the clipboard. That's how I would do my diagnostics. But at a minimum, you could do that, and you could always select the piece of text that you want to paste, and you can do it manually and find out what's happening with what your current situation is. We got an email from Jim.
Not this Jim.
Yeah, Jim.
Another Jim.
He said, Dear Dr. Schertz, since Mr. Bird occasionally pops in to liven things up, like on the early days at another station.
Mm.
How politically correct that is.
Oh, I'm telling you.
At another station.
Right.
Maybe we can get him this phone. He sent a picture of a phone for David.
Yeah.
Now, this phone that he sent is actually a flip phone, but it's got a rotary dial in it instead of buttons.
I think that would drive David crazy.
I mean, you know, come on. Dave's an iPhone man. Give him a phone like that would just be cruel.
Yeah, absolutely.
Just be cruel.
How would you text with a dial phone? I don't think it's possible.
No, it isn't. But maybe Dave doesn't text.
I have a funny feeling he does.
Now, this is more of a phone for you, Jim, don't you think?
Well, yeah, when you think about it, because I'm the low-tech guy around here, dial flip phone would be perfect.
I'm thinking a dial
rotary
flip phone would be perfect for you. Oh, then he goes on to say, enjoy the show, and I especially like the updates on space. Hope you've seen that one photo that Hubble Telescope took of an object that seems to be making making stars way out at the edge of space. A longtime listener, Jim in Alexandria. Well, thanks for that.
Yeah, thanks for thinking of us. That's a pretty funny looking little device.
So when Dave comes in, we'll show him that. Phone.
Is that picture going to be on the? Will that translate onto the web to the outline?
Well, I could put it on
the
web.
That'd be kind of fun.
I'll try to stick that up on the web.
Sorry to make work for you there.
I know it's going to be tough. See, I've got a problem too. When I came back from India, I forgot the power cord for my laptop.
Oh no. It's still in India?
They're mailing it to me.
Okay.
So last night I went to my laptop where I usually prepare tech talk, dead battery.
Oh.
So then I had to power up another laptop. So I didn't have any of my files there, so I had to create everything from scratch. So it may be I'll have to get back my power cord before I can update the tech talk page. But I will get it done. The power cord's on its way.
That's pretty funny. Well, Doc, welcome back. It's good to have you here. This is Tech Talk on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM, 820 AM, 107.7 FM HD2, and 103.5 FM HD2. Stand by. We have more stuff coming right up.
If it's technology, it's Tech Talk Radio. IT trends, software, the internet, and IT careers. More of Tech Talk Radio, presented by Stratford University, coming up in a moment.
My career was going nowhere.
College just wasn't working for me.
I was lost. Then I discovered Stratford University.
Stratford.
Stratford University.
Stratford helped me take the skills I already had and turn them into a career.
I'm more of a hands-on learner, and I just couldn't make it in those large classes.
I finally knew I had to do something different.
With campuses in Tyson's Corner and Woodbridge, Stratford helps you earn your accredited degree in business administration, culinary arts, allied health, hotel and restaurant management, information technology, and hospitality management through day, evening, weekend, and online courses. And with 10-week sessions and rolling enrollments, you can jumpstart your new career when you're ready.
Now I'm on my way to a real career.
I love my classes and professors. Stratford was exactly what I needed.
Stratford was exactly what I needed.
Stratford University. Just start it and we'll help you finish. For information, call 1-800-444-0804 or check us out on the web at stratford.edu. That's stratford.edu.
If it's technology, it's Tech Talk Radio. IT trends, software, the internet, and IT careers. Here's Dr. Richard Schertz of Stratford University with Tech Talk Radio.
Welcome to Tech Talk Radio. We are in the virtual faculty lounge at Stratford University talking technology. Now, it is time for
Profiles in IT.
You almost forgot you've been gone so long, huh?
There is Mr. Big Voice. He was right on cue.
Well, you were a little slow this morning, so you had plenty of time to get all warmed up.
You know, it's taken me a while to get back in the swing of things.
I understand completely.
Today we're going to be talking about Howard G. Ward Cunningham.
Wasn't he on Happy Days? Oh, no, that's somebody.
Actually, somebody by the name of Ward Cunningham or Howard Cunningham was on Happy Days, but this isn't him.
This isn't him.
Right. Very good.
Well, unwittingly, I've gotten something right.
Impressive. But it's the wrong guy, but it's the right name. Howard G. Ward Cunningham was a programmer who developed the first wiki.
Aha.
Now, you know, wiki is like the wiki. It's the web page that you can edit. Mm-hmm. And this is the man that invented it. Not the guy that made Wikipedia. They just simply used his invention. Ward Cunningham was born May 26, 1949. He grew up in Indiana. Cunningham received his Bachelor of Science in Electrical Engineering and Computer Sciences and his Master of Science in Computer Science from Purdue University. After getting his master's degree in the late 70s, this is around 21, this is a guy kind of a normal. He went to school, finished school properly. He immediately got a job at Tektronix.
A normal, is that what you call these people?
Yeah, normal.
He
got his job at Tektronix as a principal engineer, and he moved to Oregon from Indiana to work on this. Of course, Purdue is in Indiana, so that's where he grew up there.
Yeah.
While he was at Tektronix, he said it was kind of like a mini Bell Labs there. He really liked the Tektronix research lab. While he was there, he was introduced to something that was very new then, object-oriented programming. This is actually programming that is now dominates most of the programming markets, where you have a small block of code that acts like an object that is self-contained. And you can activate that object, and you'll run the code within the object, and none of the variables within the object are shared, so it's self-contained. It's easy to pick up that object as a module and move it to another program, so it makes for portable code, and it's the way most programming is done these days. But it was very new back then. He stayed there for a while, and then finally he figured out that he knew how to organize large software projects as objects. He thought, okay, I've got this object-oriented stuff down. So you organize the software project. People are basically programming different objects, and you know that since they're self-contained, they'll also work together. So then he took a new job for Wyatt Software as director of R&D. And, you know, he worked there for a while. But shortly thereafter, he said, you know, maybe I should just get in the consulting business. So he started a company called Cunningham & Cunningham, a software consultancy firm specializing in object-oriented programming. Now, I don't know who the second Cunningham was.
I think they may have been a figment of somebody's imagination.
Well,
possibly,
you know, maybe it was. I don't know who the second Cunningham was. I couldn't figure that out. Maybe it just sounded like bigger.
Right.
Cunningham and Cunningham.
Or maybe he was a big guy.
It could be.
So he could have been two Cunninghams in one.
It could be. Now, his website is C2.com. Of course, C2 because there are two Cunninghams. C2.com.
Pretty catchy.
And in March 19, and then in 1994, he got the idea of programming the software for WikiWikiWeb.
Uh-huh.
Now, WikiWikiWeb was this is what he called it. It's you could actually, you know, you'd edit the website. WikiWiki, of course, comes from the Hawaiian word for quick.
Yes.
WikiWiki. It stands for quick. WikiWiki. So and so he basically created his WikiWikiWeb in 1994, and then in March 25th, 1995, he installed it on his website c2.com, and it was called the Portland Pattern Repositories Wiki, because he was into, at that time, looking at programming patterns as a way to program, and it was sort of his interest in so-called Portland's Pattern Repository Wiki, and it was actually a website that was designed to explore the technical aspects of object-oriented programming.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Cunningham said in an interview in 2007, it took a while for this site to catch on because it sounded so unusual. People actually editing a site, people couldn't get used to it. But eventually, people did get used to it. And by 2007, the site had over 25,000 pages about programming. Cunningham actually wrote 100 or 200 of these pages.
Mm-hmm.
And all the rest were contributed by people that wanted to contribute to this site on object-oriented programming. Now, the wiki concept has been what's called a social software, because actually it is a software that's only effective if there's more than one person using it. I mean, if you're the only person using the wiki, there's no mm-hmm. point to it. But if you've got hundreds of people or thousands of people using the wiki, then you've got sort of this collective activity where people can create content collectively, they can share, they can refine each other's ideas, and you have something that's very interesting. So it's truly social software applied to, you know, the generation of content. Cunningham's original wiki remains the largest wiki devoted to a single topic. Now, the largest wiki on multiple subjects would be, what would you think that would be, Jim? The largest wiki on multiple subjects.
Beats me.
No, you know this. Wikipedia.
Okay, all right.
Wikipedia.
It was so simple.
It was so obvious.
It was so hard.
Yeah, it was so simple, but so hard.
Yes.
That was founded in 2001, which was only about, about 6 years after he came up with his first wiki on the C2.com site. Now, in December 2003 until December 2005, he worked for Microsoft Corporation in the Patterns and Practices Group. He was into this programming patterns and best practices in software development. And he worked there for 2 years. He really couldn't take the corporate environment, though, too long. I think he probably moved to there because he wanted to make some money on it.
Mm-hmm.
He never really made money on the wiki. I'll explain why he didn't later on.
Okay.
Then from October 2005 to May 2007, he held the position of Director of Committee Development for the Eclipse Foundation. It was kind of an open source kind of tool, kind of program. And he was there for a couple of years. And then in 2007, he joined About Us as the chief technology officer, and he's still there. Now, he co-authored a book about wikis entitled The Wiki Way. Now, he actually is not into money so much. He never patented wiki. Now, Cunningham said in this interview, this 2007 interview, he said, I thought about patenting it. I figured something like that. I figured if I got a patent, this is like a typical technical, if I got a patent, then I'd have to sell people on the idea of a program that anybody could edit.
Mm-hmm.
And that sounded like something that nobody would ever pay for. So because he didn't want to really sell it, he didn't want to go into marketing
right.
and sales, he just said, I'll just give it away. He said, the simplest
God.
Ideas are probably the least technical.
Yeah,
I don't think that any of my best ideas will ever be patented. So he's really a believer in kind of the open source sort of the open source philosophy. In fact, when he was at Microsoft, he was leading the open source movement within Microsoft, and much of the code that he wrote at Microsoft was released under the open source release clauses of the Universal Commons, of the Commons. So he's really an open source kind of guy. He's the kind of guy that gives back to the community, and so he's really someone to be admired, and he certainly did make great contributions. He founded the Hillside Group and has served as program chair of the Pattern Languages of Programming Conference, which it sponsors. He's also a significant contributor to extreme programming software development methodology. Now, extreme programming, this is where a programmer, I'll explain what this is. He basically commits to doing something. He says, okay, I'm going to do X, and he posts it on a wiki-like thing. And then he develops it, and he says, okay, I've developed it. This is what it does. He posts the code. He explains why it's significant, what's different about what was done, what he had to do that was different than what he thought, and he explains it very thoroughly. And this method of tracking software development through these comments is called extreme programming. And it's really a management tool because this way non-technical people could track the progress of a software project to see whether they want to put any more money in it. It also holds the programmers more accountable. So later in life, he got very interested in how do you manage large software projects. And extreme programming is one way that he does it. He currently lives in Beaverton, Oregon, and he's still working. He's still working at About Us. So there you go, the man who developed the first wiki that Wikipedia was based on, Ward Cunningham. If you want to go back and look at that first wiki, it's still there. Go to c2.com and click on Portland Pattern Repository, and you'll bring up that wiki, and you can see what it looks like.
Interesting. There you go.
Everything you wanted to know about WikiWiki.
WikiWiki. Very good. Well, I hope you're paying attention because you will be quizzed. Isn't that correct?
Yes, indeed.
You will be quizzed. But there is a prize. Nobody fails.
If you get the wrong answer,
you just don't get the food. So pay attention. Hope you did. The pop quiz is coming right up. The number to call is 877-936-9333. 877-936-9333 to play the pop quiz here on Tech Talk on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM, 820 AM, 1077 FM HD2, and 1035 FM HD2. We'll be right back.
If it's technology, it's Tech Talk Radio. IT trends, software, the internet, and IT careers. More of Tech Talk Radio, presented by Stratford University, coming up in a moment.
According to the U.S. Bureau of Labor, 5 of the 30 occupations projected to grow the fastest by 2016 are IT-related, led by network and data communications analysts, software engineers, and systems analysts. 70% of business technology professionals surveyed by Information Week say there is a shortage of IT talent in the U.S. today. However, if you have previous military or management experience, there are tremendous opportunities for you in the IT field if you retrain. Stratford University's bachelor's degree in information technology prepares you to analyze, design, implement, administer, and secure computer networks and information systems. Master's degrees are also offered in information systems and software engineering. Day and evening classes are offered so you can continue in your current field. Call Stratford University at 800-444-0804 or visit online at stratford.edu. That's 800-444-0804. Stratford University, Tyson's Corner in Woodbridge.
If it's technology, it's Tech Talk Radio. IT trends, software, the internet, and IT careers. Here's Dr. Richard Schertz of Stratford University with Tech Talk Radio.
It's time for America's favorite new game show, the Stratford University Pop Quiz. Now, here's the host and star of our show. It's not Bob Barker. It's not Rosie O'Donnell. No, it's not Richard Dawson. It's Dr. Richard Schertz.
You thought this was a radio show.
Well, of course, we're on 4 radio stations.
This is a classroom of the airways.
Ah.
This is a wireless classroom.
I see.
The beauty of it is you don't even have to get out of your pajamas to go to class.
I don't want to think about that.
No, okay. Anyway, earlier in the show, I was talking about Ward Cunningham. That would be Howard G. Ward Cunningham. Not from Happy Days.
No.
But rather the programmer who invented the Wiki.
Yes.
So the question is, what did the name WikiWiki come from? What does it mean, and what language did it come from?
Right. So, this is where I tell you how you answer the question.
Yeah, that's right.
You don't write in an essay book and mail it to us. No, this is like instant classroom.
Instant classroom.
Even though you're in your pajamas.
Carrier pigeons do not work because the windows are closed.
Rocks with the answer tied around it, that doesn't work
that
either.
That doesn't
you
work
You must
either.
Call us on your landline, 877-936-9333. 877-936-9333, 877-936-9333, or you can Skype us, right?
You can Skype us, go to Tech Talk Radio on Skype, add that to your contacts, call us, that'll be forwarded directly to the studio, or you can drive by the studio windows holding a sign up.
That's a new idea.
Drive by holding up a sign that, we'd go out and interview you out there in the street.
The parking's a little ratty today because of all the snow on the street.
It is tough.
Yeah.
Well, I was talking about all this stuff going on in Egypt.
Yeah.
The Egyptian government just doesn't like protests.
No.
They're not dealing with it very well. You see, the thing is, what happens when there are protesters, they'll set up text messages for instant mob formation.
Oh,
they'll say,
great.
Okay, everybody head down to the flagpole on the left of the courtyard, and let's have a protest. So they, through text messaging, they communicate. They're using Twitter. They're also organizing all kinds of events and sort of civil unrest through Facebook. So the Egyptian government tried to limit access to Facebook. They tried to limit access to Twitter. They tried to limit access to text messages, and they couldn't actually control it because people always have workarounds. So finally, they actually just shut down the internet on Friday. They shut down the internet for can you imagine? They just shut it down. And what they did
I
is
can't.
Now the. And it shows exactly how important all of these things are. The protesters use Facebook to list their demands and rally support. And so the targeting of Facebook, the surgical targeting of Facebook and Twitter really didn't work, although it didn't try. Now, Vodafone in Egypt, just before they shut down everything, they said all mobile operators in Egypt have been instructed to suspend services in selected areas. Under Egyptian legislation, the authorities have the right to issue such an order, and we are obliged to comply with it. The Egyptian authorities will be clarifying the situation in due course. This is on the Vodafone Egypt website. Now, the nonprofit Internet Society, just here in Ruston, Virginia, these kind of the local boys, said this shutdown was an inappropriate response to a political crisis and a serious intrusion into its citizens' basic rights to communicate. I'd say that was an understatement. They're probably not being quite so politically correct in the back room there at the Internet Society. In an article published by the Huffington Post, Timothy Carr, a campaign director of the Washington Media Reform Group Free Press, singled out Narus Incorporated, NARUS, a Sunnyvale computer security firm, for selling the Egyptian government tools for monitoring internet and mobile telephone traffic. So I went down to Narus. I went to their website because now everybody's like mad at Narus because they've given the tools to the Egyptian government to monitor everybody. And it said, Narus is a leader in real-time traffic intelligence for the protection and management of large IP networks. Real-time traffic intelligence is the ability to protect and manage large IP networks by understanding in detail the behavior of all traffic. So it turns out that Narus also received the Department of Homeland Security Award. So I think that our government's using Narus too.
Mm-hmm.
But our government is using Narus probably in a better managed way to look for the bad guys, not just to shut off the citizens and spy on the citizens. A spokesman for Narus did not return calls from reporters or email questions requesting a comment. So Egypt's response to this is going to reduce their credibility in the internet society world, the internet world, and I think there is going to be serious backlash against this action. And in the long run, they will regret it.
Gotcha. I'm looking quizzically at the computer because we had a winner who was calling from California, which would have been interesting to figure out how he was listening to us, but he had a magic jack. and his phone didn't sound really good. So we can't get through to him right now. So I think what we'll do is we'll take a little bit of a break.
Okay.
And if he can call us back, then we can get him on the air somehow. 877-936-9333. If you were the guy that called and you were the had the winning answer there, give us a call back. 877-936-9333. Yeah.
Maybe he was. He could also been calling on the, no, not on Skype, because you could see it was Magic Jack. So
yeah.
He must be listening over the internet.
Yeah.
Okay.
Must have been. So give us a call. 877-936-9333. And if he doesn't call us back in a few, we'll open it back up to other listeners. Again, the question was, what does wiki mean? And in what language does it mean it? Where
yes,
did it come from?
That okay. is correct.
877-936-9333. It's the first time we've had that happen.
Yeah.
So you're listening to Tech Talk on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM, 820 AM, 1077 FM HD2, 1035 FM HD2. Be right back.
If it's technology, it's Tech Talk Radio. IT trends, software, the internet, and IT careers. More of Tech Talk Radio, presented by Stratford University, coming up in a moment.
My career was going nowhere.
College just wasn't working for me.
I was lost. Then I discovered Stratford University.
Stratford.
Stratford University.
Stratford helped me take the skills I already had and turn them into a career.
I'm more of a hands-on learner, and I just couldn't make it in those large classes.
I finally knew I had to do something different.
With campuses in Tyson's Corner and Woodbridge, Stratford helps you earn your accredited degree in business administration, culinary arts, allied health, hotel and restaurant management, information technology, and hospitality management through day, evening, weekend, and online courses. And with 10-week sessions and rolling enrollments, you can jumpstart your new career when you're ready.
Now I'm on my way to a real career.
I love my classes and professors. Stratford was exactly what I needed.
Stratford was exactly what I needed.
Stratford University. Just start it and we'll help you finish. For information, call 1-800-444-0804 or check us out on the web at stratford.edu. That's stratford.edu.
If it's technology, it's Tech Talk Radio. IT trends, software, the internet, and IT careers. Here's Dr. Richard Schertz of Stratford University with Tech Talk Radio.
Welcome back to Tech Talk Radio. We're in the virtual faculty lounge at Stratford University. You know, I always recommend UMA for voice over IP. I don't really like Magic Jack.
Yeah, with our real-world experience that we're getting right this very second.
Magic
yes.
Jack's got some quality problems. UMA's a little bit more expensive, but in the long term, I think it's quite a good product.
Mm-hmm.
Magic Jack is not as quite as effective on the quality side as, and it could be also he has a bandwidth problem there at his house. I don't know.
Could be.
Well, now we've got the face off between Google
and
Facebook.
Mm-hmm.
Remember, it used to be the face off was between Microsoft and Apple. That's yesterday's news.
Yeah.
These guys are like traditional, coming out of the old Silicon Valley deal, but the new internet guys are Facebook and Google.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Page is 38 years old, and he spent nearly a decade being tutored by Eric Schmidt, who was the president, CEO of Google. And Larry Page is now moving up to president, and Eric Schmidt is moving to chairman of the board because Page has learned enough how to run the company, and they think they're going to bring a little bit more innovation back into the company. Mm-hmm. Eric Schmidt sort of said, you know, a little, it's good bureaucracy, good controls, but maybe they've kind of lost that wild-eyed spirit that Page brought to it.
Well, didn't you tell me at one point that it was really sort of like an unmanned kindergarten?
Yeah.
Google was for a while.
It was. And Eric, you know, they needed adult supervision, and that's what Eric was providing. Now, Zuckerberg never gave up control of Facebook to anybody else. He's only 26.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I watched the social networking movie on, I fly Qatar Air over when I go to New Delhi. So I watched the social networking movie on Qatar Air. That's the only place I watch movies.
Is in the air.
In the air. I mean, it's the 13th.
How long a flight is that?
It's, well, to go from Washington to Doha, I go through, and I go Doha to Delhi.
Uh-huh.
Washington to Doha is about a 13-hour flight, and then Doha to Delhi is a 4.5-hour flight. That 13-hour flight is a dog.
I'll bet.
So it's enough time to watch. If you watch all the time, you can watch about 4 or 5 movies. I usually only watch 1 or 2.
Mm-hmm.
It can only take so many movies.
Yeah, really.
Well, It all started in starting Facebook and Google. Zuckerberg and Page proved that they understood the web's potential for changing the world. Now, the question is, which one can do the best to harness the power of the web with future products and future growth? Now, the initial products both embodied the vision that Tim Berners-Lee had when he created the web, which was to develop a platform that would first reflect the way we work and play and socialize. So you see, Google certainly improved our ability to find information with its first product. They gave it away free, and then they made money on the edge. You know, and you can see that the book, What Would Google Do?, explains how they monetized their product. Now, the more than 600 million Facebook users, that's 600 million, not 500 million, mm-hmm. Jim, I lost track of the last 100 million.
Track.
I guess.
Yeah, well,
more than 600 million Facebook users undoubtedly would argue that Facebook has improved the way they socialize. Now, both companies differ from Apple and Microsoft, which promote solitary activities, not collective activities. Now, Google's an extremely profitable company. It has over $30 billion in cash. Now, it's publicly traded. Facebook is still privately held. They haven't gone public yet. And, you know, as we said a couple of weeks ago, Goldman Sachs has recently invested $1.5 billion into Facebook, and they're hoping to see some sizable return in the future. So it'll probably go public soon. So we're going to see the face-off between the two tech upstarts. Mm-hmm. So it's going to be fun to watch Larry Page versus Mark Zuckerberg, which is going to be the equivalent to the Steve Jobs versus Microsoft,
right?
Bill Gates fight, which is now, you know, tapering down. Both guys are nearing retirement.
Exactly. Well, I think we need to open this question up to the entire class again, because we're not going to hear back from our guy in California.
I think Magic Jack is gone. Maybe his internet went down.
Magic Jack apparently is anything but magic, it
yeah,
would seem.
Yeah, the Magic Jack went poof. The magic dragon is gone. So
the question is again, Doc.
Okay, remember we talked about the man who invented the wiki, and we talked about the name of wiki. Where did wiki come from, and what does it mean, and in what language?
Gotcha. If you know the answer to that question, call us now at 877-936-9333. 877-936-9333. Looks like we'll have a winner when we come back here on Tech Talk, Federal News Radio, 1500 AM, 820 AM, 1077 FM HD2, 1035 FM HD2. Be right back.
If it's technology, it's Tech Talk Radio. IT trends, software, the internet, and IT careers. More of Tech Talk Radio, presented by Stratford University, coming up in a moment.
My career was going nowhere.
College just wasn't working for me.
I was lost. Then I discovered Stratford University.
Stratford.
Stratford University. Stratford helped me take the skills I already had and turn them into a career.
I'm more of a hands-on learner, and I just couldn't make it in those large classes.
I finally knew I had to do something different.
With campuses in Tyson's Corner and Woodbridge, Stratford helps you earn your accredited degree in business administration, culinary arts, allied health, hotel and restaurant management, information technology, and hospitality management through day, evening, weekend, and online courses. And with 10-week sessions and rolling enrollments, you can jumpstart your new career when you're ready.
Now I'm on my way to a real career.
I love my classes and professors. Stratford was exactly what I needed.
Stratford was exactly what I needed.
Stratford University. Just start it and we'll help you finish. For information, call 1-800-444-0804 or check us out on the web at stratford.edu. That's stratford.edu.
If it's technology, it's Tech Talk Radio. IT trends, software, the internet, and IT careers. Here's Dr. Richard Schertz of Stratford University with Tech Talk Radio.
Welcome back to Tech Talk Radio. We're in the virtual faculty lounge of Stratford University talking technology. I'm Dr. Richard Schertz. And do we have a winner?
Yeah, we do have a winner. Let's do this. Okay. Now you be quiet there, and we'll play that. Oh, geez. Here we go. All right, let's go to line one. This is Beth calling from Alexandria, Virginia. Beth, I think this is the first time you've called us, isn't it? Beth
is Beth there?
Beth is right there. I have to press all the buttons. Hi, Beth.
How are you?
Good.
And I'm not on Magic Check.
Because
not
we
on
can
Magic
hear you.
Check. Oh, what a great voice quality here.
That makes us happy.
Yes. Earlier in the show, I was talking about Ward Cunningham, who invented the first wiki. Where did the name wiki come from, and what was the language?
It was Hawaiian, and I only learned that from you because I often wondered with Wikipedia. I thought wiki had to do with witches or something, and it means quick.
That is correct. Very good. Wiki. They also call taxi cabs. There's a little taxi cab there, wiki, if you want to get a quick taxi there in Hawaii. Very good.
So, Beth, have you been listening to us for long?
Probably a year. I really love you guys. You know,
good.
It's such a refreshing change from politics, which is on the radio a lot.
Oh yeah, we try to stay out of politics unless they get into technology like net neutrality. Then I get into it a little bit.
Then we try to kick them out.
Yeah,
is this the first
right.
time you've called us, Beth? I don't think we've spoken to you before.
I must confess that I often use a pseudonym.
Mm-hmm. Ah,
yes. Uh-huh. So I have called you.
Yes. Well, we're not going to hold that against you.
Okay.
All right, good. Hang on the phone here. Andrew Mitchell, our talented and lovely producer, will take your information and we'll send you out the tickets. Okay, so, Doc, let's move along, shall we?
Okay, now it's Facebook finally supports Secure Socket Layer. You know, one of the problems is when you'd log on, like if you'd go to, say, a Wi-Fi place like Starbucks coffee or McDonald's, it's an unencrypted Wi-Fi. People could actually sniff your username and password if you're using an unencrypted mode.
Right.
Now, a long time ago, Google supported Secure Socket Layer, and you can actually go configure your email. Just go to the setup, and you can request HTTPS Secure Socket Layer. So that way, when you log on to Google, nobody can sniff your username or password. But Facebook didn't support that, and so if you're not using a VPN, which most people don't do, there are programs that will just sniff out the username and password, and people have been complaining about Facebook why they don't support it. And finally, this week they announced full support for HTTPS for all traffic. This way, it'll be more difficult for hackers to hack into and get your username and password if you're using unencrypted Wi-Fi. Now, the thing is, this announcement came just hours after it was revealed that Mark Zuckerberg's homepage had been hacked.
Uh-oh.
So maybe Mark had been down to Starbucks logging in. And he called you. They listen, guys, when are we going to get this secure socket layer going? So they were a little embarrassed that Mark's page had been hit. But finally, Facebook has done the right thing. Now, the great big new challenge going down to the future is basically discount buying, and both Google and Facebook are trying to get into it. Probably the number one website to get coupons, and this is really could almost be a website of the week, is Groupon.
It's really cool.
Groupon.com. Have you used that, Jim?
Yeah, I have.
Groupon. It stands for group coupon. Groupon, and what it is, they want you to find coupons, and maybe they'll do something like you can buy things that maybe they'll say, if you go to a restaurant, you can get $20 worth of food for $10. You get half price. But in order for it to work, 30 people have to do it.
Right.
And so you might sign up for it, and then you try to get your friends to do it, and once 30 people do it, then everybody gets the Groupon, as they say. Now, this is called the social buying market. Now, earlier this month, Google revealed that it was going to go head-to-head with Groupon, which is the most successful firm in this sector. Now, get this. Groupon just last month turned down an offer for $6 billion from Google.
Wow.
$6 billion from Google.
That is not chump change.
Groupon is only 2 years old. Think about this. $6 billion in value for 2 years. My God. I'll tell you, that's something. Mm-hmm. Now, I'm going to do a profile in IT on the guys that started this. That'll be next week. That'll be an interesting thing to find out the story behind Groupon. Now, social buying is all about linking people with similar tastes and then getting them to buy into a special offer with a local company. Forbes recently reported Deb Liu, Facebook's head of commerce product marketing, had revealed that half of the test users chose to share news of a new purchase with their friends via the news feed. So this is sort of group purchasing. You say, hey, I got a great deal here, and you share it with your friends, and people are willing to do that. So they have a button called Buy with Friends feature. Now, it's going to ultimately evolve or morph into a direct head-to-head fight with Groupon. Facebook is going to be a serious contender for the social buying market. I think Groupon may regret if they don't sell out to Google, because I don't think they can win this
battle.
They're
going to get their butts kicked.
They should take that six. It was only let. Now, maybe they're still negotiating with them.
Mm-hmm.
The initial offer. See, Google's got $30 billion in the bank. So the initial offer was $3.5 to $4 billion, which they turned down, and then Google upped it to $6 billion. So maybe they'll end up getting more. But that's interesting.
Good.
But go to Groupon.com and you can get all kinds of feed. You know how you used to buy these little coupon books,
yeah,
you know, and you pay $10 and you got all these half prices. Groupon, you don't have to buy a book, and you can always get half price tickets there on spot.
Cherry pick the ones you really want, because in the coupon book there's probably stuff that you don't want.
That's right.
Right.
So I've played around. Have you ever gotten a coupon from there?
Yeah,
I've never.
Pretty good.
They're okay. I'm going to try it. I signed up, checked it out, but
you'll use it until Google blows it up, right?
Yes, right.
There you go. Let's take a break, and then we'll be back with more stuff here on Tech Talk. This is Federal News Radio, 1500 AM, 820 AM, 107.7 FM HD2, 103.5 FM HD2. Be right back.
If it's technology, it's Tech Talk Radio. IT trends, software, the internet, and IT careers. More of Tech Talk Radio, presented by Stratford University, coming up in a moment.
Demand is great for IT professionals that can gain a security clearance. According to a recent Federal Computer Week article, federal agencies and private sector businesses that support government contracts can't get enough credentialed people to keep pace with government work. Tremendous opportunities exist for mid-career and late-career workers if they are retrained, particularly if they have had previous military service. Stratford University's bachelor's degree in information technology prepares students to analyze, design, implement, administer, and secure computer networks and information systems. Master's degrees are also offered in information systems and software engineering. Day and evening classes are offered so you can continue in your current field. Call Stratford University at 800-444-0804 or visit online at stratford.edu. That's 800-444-0804. Stratford University, Tyson's Corner and Woodbridge.
If it's technology, it's Tech Talk Radio. IT trends, software, the internet, and IT careers. Here's Dr. Richard Schertz of Stratford University with Tech Talk Radio.
Welcome back to Tech Talk Radio. We're in the virtual faculty lounge at Stratford University talking technology. Let's go back and review some of the trends with the Computer Electronics Show. That, of course, was held earlier in the month, January 6th through 9th in Las Vegas.
Yes.
And there were some interesting developments there, which kind of indicate long-term trends. We didn't get to this on the show that when it was supposed to be there because we had...
We were busy. We had a lot of stuff.
We had a lot of stuff that day.
We had a David Byrd bust in that day.
Dave came in. Well, the number one thing there, tablet devices, they were all over the place. You know, of course, the iPad is there, and a lot of iPad wannabes. Motorola and LG, among others, used the show to introduce tablet devices based upon the upcoming Honeycomb version of Google's Android operating system. Would be the 3.0 release, which was designed specifically with tablets in mind. Version 2.0, which is out there now, did not have tablets in mind, but 3.0 is designed specifically for the tablet. Research in Motion, the BlackBerry guys, began displaying the Playbook tablet, which it had announced earlier in the summer. And both of these tablets were included features that are absent from the iPad, such as cameras for video conferencing. I mean, why wouldn't the iPad have a little camera in it so you could use it for Skyping? I'm certain that the iPad is going to be announcing this. Now, what Apple does, they skip the Computer Electronics Show, and then about 2 or 3 months later, they've got their own shindig. So they're probably going to try to one-up it, and I'm betting that the new iPad's going to have a video camera in there so you can do video conferencing.
Yeah, probably.
Smartphones were big, as you would expect.
I would expect. How about the phone with a rotary dial flip phone? Was that big there?
I don't know. I didn't see much rotary phone action there at the thing. But, you know, we'll have to consult
with David. That'll be next year's. Why didn't we think of this?
That's right. Dozens of new Android phones were announced. These are all iPhone wannabes.
Mm-hmm.
They came from vendors such as LG, Samsung, Motorola, HTC. Many connect to the fast-emerging fourth-generation networks that Verizon and Sprint are rolling out. You know, they're only rolling out third-gen there in India. Most of India is second-gen. And, I mean, in parts of Delhi, I could get three-gen action, third-gen action. I couldn't. Mostly I was in second-gen space there in Delhi. But we're already coming up with the fourth-generation networks, which are really designed to give you high-speed browsing. So you can actually, and you can download videos and all of that sort of thing. Samsung introduced mobile devices that's been missing from the Android ecosystem. It's an iPod touch-style media device, the Galaxy Player. It's essentially one of its Galaxy S Android phones, but without a phone and only Wi-Fi instead. Internet TV is big. Now, last year, HDTVs came preloaded by the vendor, but this year, many feature app stores where you can download apps for your TV. And most vendors devoted a lot of space to 3D television. I'm telling you, 3D television looks good, but yeah. I don't like to wear these $200 goggles.
No.
They kind of give you eye strain. But they'll be coming out with very shortly with 3D TVs that do not need goggles. And that's what I'm waiting for. But I'll tell you, TV, internet TV is really going to drive everything because we're going to see content coming down, you know, over the web, you know, just like Netflix can download directly. So you can log on to the TV, you can sign up for Netflix, and you just click on it, and there it's on your TV. You've got nothing, no intermediate devices. If you want to use internet TV and you don't want to buy a new TV, you can actually get internet access through the new Blu-ray DVD devices, which are pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
You can get internet access through an Xbox, for instance. And so you can actually get internet access to a device that attaches to your TV if you don't want to go out and buy a new TV. But the next versions of TVs are all going to have internet on them, and they're, you know, 3G, I mean, three-dimensional TV is definitely coming. Cars were big. This is the first year that cars have been at the computer electronics show.
Really?
Because cars are becoming increasingly electronically driven. When you look at the different features that cars have, they're really differentiated now by electronics rather than by the horsepower of the engine, for instance. Now, Ford chose to use the show to announce that it will ship an all-electric version of its Focus Compact. The Focus Compact offers better mileage than the Chevy Volt, Ford says, and charges twice as fast as the Nissan Leaf. Automakers, this is the key question. Automakers see the car as the living room on wheels.
Oh, my God.
So they're thinking of bringing in, you'll probably have internet TV in there, you'll have internet access, the kids will be watching internet TV in the back. So they're going to make the car a multimedia experience and try to differentiate themselves. And you see, the other thing, once you start connecting to the internet, the navigation systems can automatically be updated to give you traffic, you know, can reroute you around traffic jams.
Sure.
And that sort of thing. So you're going to see dynamic traffic direction when you're running through rush hour. It's going to be quite a nice thing. Home appliances were a major trend here at the show because the home appliances are now hooking into the internet, and that changes the way you work with them. Ovens, dishwashers, washing machines, dryers, refrigerators, and other products were displayed for the connected home. South Korea's LG Electronics is deploying the Think Home appliances. This is THINQ, Think Home appliances, which are connected to the home Wi-Fi network, and they can be controlled by smartphone or computer. They include washing machines that can be instructed from the office to run. So you got all kinds of things. Cameras embedded in a robot can keep an eye on the house while you're away. Lots and lots of stuff going on. They've also got special Wi-Fi things to watch the kids in the bedroom. Well, another show is over,
yep.
And we had a great time. Make certain to email us, techtalk@stratford.edu. Also, check out the web at Stratford University, www.stratford.edu. And we want you to get the podcast of the show. Go to techtalkonline.com. You can download the podcast. We'll see you next week.
That's right.
This is a paid commercial program and may not represent the views of Bonneville International Corporation or Federal News Radio. Statements and opinions from this broadcast are solely those of the individual contributors or advertisers as indicated. Federal News Radio does not take responsibility for those statements or opinions and accepts no responsibility or liability for any inaccuracy, errors, or omissions reported during this program.
WFED Washington, WWFD Frederick, WWWTFM HD2 Manassas, WTOPFM HD2 Washington. This is Federal News Radio, on the air at 1500 AM and online at federalnewsradio.com. The only radio station in the world dedicated to serving the federal executive and government contractor. It's our mission to provide news and information that helps federal managers do their job better and help facilitate the business of government. Federal News Radio talks to the people who make government work to build a sense of federal community, discuss best practices, and explore lessons learned. Every weekday from 6 a.m. to 7 p.m., Federal News Radio interviews federal newsmakers one-on-one to explain how their news affects agencies and contractors. Nights and weekends, WFED broadcasts all the action of Washington Nationals baseball, Washington Capitals hockey, the Navy midshipmen, George Washington Colonials, and American University Eagles basketball. Federal News Radio, 1500 a.m., the Washington, D.C. home of Navy athletics, and your source for federal news now.
And we have George Washington University basketball on the air today at 1:50. They take on St. Louis right here on Federal News Radio. Cloudy today with an occasional flurry, maybe a dusting of snow. Highs close to 40 degrees. Right now it is cloudy and 32 outside our studios in Northwest at 10 a.m.
This is a paid commercial program and may not represent the views of Bonneville International Corporation or Federal News Radio. Statements and opinions from this broadcast are solely those of the individual contributors or advertisers as indicated. Federal News Radio does not take responsibility for those statements or opinions and accepts no responsibility or liability for any inaccuracy, errors, or omissions reported during this program.
Welcome to Blueprint for Wealth, a program dedicated to securing your personal dreams of wealth and freedom. Now, here's your host, Wayne Zell.
Good morning and welcome to Blueprint for Wealth. I'm Wayne Zell, your host of this very fast-paced half hour of special topics and special guests designed to help you realize your personal dreams of wealth and freedom. The show is brought to you by Odin, Feldman, and Pittleman, a full-service law